Today we're at Mount St. Charles Academy. My name is Cale Schneider.
And I'm Michael Corrigan.
And we're interviewing Paul Provençal on May 20th, 2019.
So during this interview, we would like you just to basically describe our childhood, what school was like, and everything that you remember or stories that you would like to share with us.
From here? From this school?
Or just childhood.
First question, your full name and where and when you were born?
Full name is Paul Emile André Joseph Provençal.
And when were you born?
I was born here in Woonsocket Hospital, April 1st, 1946.
So, could you tell me about your parents or grandparents, like, growing up?
My parents and my grandparents both came from families who were very close. My father was born here in Woonsocket. His parents were born, I believe they were both born here in the United States, but from French-Canadian families in Quebec. My mother was born in St. David, Yamaska County, Quebec, Canada. Her parents were born in that area. And both had a long, there were many cousins, uncles and cousins. When I was first born, we were on the corner of Elm Street and Golan Avenue in Woonsocket. I was a third floor tenement house, a little baby. Well, an apartment opened and the house next door was owned by the same landlord in the house next door on the second floor. So we moved there. Eventually, my aunt and her family lived on the second floor. My grandparents, the first house we were in, my grandparents already lived there. My aunt and uncle and eventually my cousin lived next door to her. We were on the second floor in the other house. So that's three families that really belonged together. So that's how I grew up. And my mother had three sisters, and all of them ended up living in Woonsocket. And my father's family, all of them were in the greater Woonsocket area, so, you know.
Did you have any brothers or sisters?
I have two sisters. They both went to St. Clair, the former St. Clair High School. They went to St. Anne's School. I went to St. Anne's Grammar School in Woonsocket through the ninth grade. They did the same thing, except they went to St. Clair High School.
And for school, where did you start off? Like, what was the first school you went to?
St. Anne's in Woonsocket. There was no such thing as kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't start, like, you have to be a certain age now to start first grade. No such thing.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, a favorite memory of your, like, early school years, like elementary school?
Elementary school, the nuns were very strict, but sometimes that could be funny. It was more the activities. School is school, but more the activities. I was in a choir when I still had a singing voice, and that was an activity. And there were no grammar school sports or anything like that. If you play basketball, that was just a pickup game. There was no sports at that school. But you had the choir, and I became an altar boy. And at one time in the lower grades, we had road guards at the intersections.
Mm-hmm.
So the good thing it was, if you're a road guard, they take you out on an outing at the end of the school year. And if you were in a choir, they do the same thing. So 1 or 2 years, I got the same deal.
So could you describe when you came to Mount? What was that like compared to like now?
The difference now, well, first of all, it was male only, and St. Clair was all girls, and then Woonsocket High School had, of course, mixed, male and female. The schools, Mount had boarding students from all over the place, and I believe then they were represented all ethnic groups and various religions. That made it different because it was they lived here in the building, and it made it different somewhat. We didn't associate a lot because of we had our own groups outside of school and inside of school. You know, we were friends with them, but it wasn't close. Some of us would come up here from where we hung out in Woonsocket. During the basketball season, one of our friends in school played varsity basketball all the way through. And we knew someone, so we come over here on it, especially when they played Woonsocket High, which was the big rivalry because it was the closest school. But the three schools, because I think North Smithfield didn't have a high school at the time and some other communities didn't have high schools, we had kids from the local towns here also. You know? So you kind of had that mix. So we had people from all over the place.
Can you tell me some like memories with your friends, like things that you did?
Well, one of the things was coming here to sports, for basketball anyway. We'd hang out at one of the corner stores down on Elm Street here in Woonsocket. As I got older, the landlord where we lived, the landlord wanted someone to do yard work. And my grandfather was retired, my mother's father, and lived in one of the apartments there. And so he was retired, and at one time he worked three jobs, so he didn't want another one. So he told the landlord that I'd take the job, then he told me that I had the job. So I had that too, just shoveling in the wintertime, sweeping and cleaning up. And back then the trash barrels, not like now, there were 55 gallons oil drums empty, and they'd use that for trash. So you'd have to take them out with a cart out to the street every week, and you have to keep the yard clean. So those are the things. For a while I had to babysit my sisters. Both of my folks were working, so during the summer break, it was only like in the afternoon when one of them got home that I was able to go off with my friends. Otherwise, I'd have to stay at the house. They were younger than me. The one after me is five years difference, and the youngest one were 9 years difference. So someone had to be there.
So I know you said that basketball was popular here, but at that time, was also hockey popular for you?
Football.
I'm out.
Football too.
I'm out.
Yeah. I went off of football and didn't do too well. I got hyperventilation, and I thought I had a heart attack. So I didn't know, and there was nobody. It's not like now. You've got all kinds of support people for the sports, right? Well, we didn't have that.
Yeah.
So I didn't. I never felt that way. I couldn't breathe. So. The players tried to get me. They wanted me to be their running backs. I don't think so. I didn't get hit or anything. We're doing an exercise, and all of a sudden, I stood up, and I fell down, and I couldn't breathe. So, and then I tried track. And now as I get older, I know why. I've got scoliosis, spine problem, and I couldn't run right for what they wanted me to run.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do it right, and that's why. I didn't know I had that. Mm-hmm. You know.
So you said you were, like, taught by nuns. Do you remember a time when, like, someone or you got in trouble?
Some of them, especially the older ones, were very, very strict. And some of them would carry what was, like, a short piece of leather belt and whack you with it. Some of them would carry, they call them clappers. It looks like a pair of pliers. They're made of wood. And some of them were very nice, like they had them made somewhere. And they'd click them to get your attention. Click, 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 click. But also what they do, put your hand out, Mr. Provencal. Wham! Whack you on the knuckle. Mm-hmm. You know? So they were very strict, but in a way, it taught you to behave, because most of the people were acting up, were just goofing and making it worse for everybody else, because then everybody would be punished.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, no recess. It was because of one smart guy making trouble.
So, as a child, did you ever go on, like, a trip or a vacation to a place that you
We go really visit... For quite a few summers in a row, we go visit family on my mother's side up in Quebec. And back then, all you had was two-lane highways. So that made it a really long trip. And we also didn't have air conditioning in the car. And that was really, summertime was really because of how the vacations were scheduled. When my mother worked and when my father worked in construction, you had to take the vacation time when you could, which is in the summertime. Mm-hmm. So we take my grandparents up, and that way they could visit their relatives. And then once in a while, my maternal grandmother had twin brothers older than her, and instead of her going up, they'd come down here to visit. They'd take the bus and come down. One lived in Rhode Island, the other one was in Quebec. He'd come down in a bus, get his brother, and then they'd come to Woonsocket and spend time with her.
Growing up, did you ever have, like, a favorite, like, words of wisdom that you would say, or your parents said to you, or any quotes that you would like to say, if you could remember?
Nope. All between the way they brought me up and having the nuns, it was more behave. It's all right to goof around, but then use your head. And that's really, you know, sometimes I get a little huffy. Well, there's only so much. And then you've got to take it where it's not going to go bad and make everybody angry. Or all the kids are going to get the dickens for it because of what you're pulling off, which could be very funny, and we could all be there trying not to laugh. You know it in school, and you're trying not to laugh, and teacher's after him, you know, because he tried to get away with something you were going to try to do. Well, I understand now that was the big thing. It was to behave, and it saved a lot of trouble. That's really what I can carry. That's what I really like to put out with that.
So we talked about friends. Did you have, like, a certain best friend?
Yep. We joined the Marine Corps together before we graduated from here, the same year we graduated, 1963. And then another guy that was friends. Three of us were friends since we were kids. And in April of 1963, one guy had already had to quit school to work. That's the way things were then. He was 16 when he decided to quit. And we went from... Bob and I graduated, Roger, the three of us, we joined the Marine Corps in April of 1963. And we went to boot, and by joining together, the idea is you're going to stay together through boot camp but the two of them got hurt, so that didn't work out right. But they served their 4 years anyway. But that's what our friendship was like. We joined together.
Other than the nuns, did you have a favorite teacher or like someone who like really you felt that helped you in school?
There was early on, well, there were two of the teachers that I had that my parents had when they were little. That tells you how old the older ones were.
Mm-hmm.
They were both helpful in their own way. They were from the presentation of Mary order. I believe they don't have a presence at all in Woonsocket anymore. Now I think it's a condo near St. Anne's Church is up on a hill on Elm Street, on the corner of Elm Street there. The building is still there, but I think that's a condo now. That's where they were based in Woonsocket. And the younger ones, some of them were, had played in high school and college. One of them was, she was a jockette. She played like all the sports she could. And she grew up on a farm up in New Hampshire. And she was more athletic and outgoing and tried to make everybody be happy and, again, to behave. And she'd do things like in the middle of the winter, there was heat, but it was heaters. There was no drawn air. It was all the radiators. And when it was hot, you didn't have air conditioning, open a window. In the wintertime, she loved nothing better than opening the windows and make us walk around the room. She'd spray us with the spray that's disinfecting spray on us. "It smells funny in here," she'd make us walk. But she'd laugh, you know. She was fun to be around, but she was strict, but she was fun to be around. That was another one.
So growing up, like during that time, were there like fashion statements that like were like new in that like?
We'd wear our old dress, black,
mm-hmm.
with white socks. That was one thing. That was one way. Then another style was there were shoes with no laces, but it had like a tongue on the outside,
mm-hmm.
with a metal lever to close it. And it was like now with sneakers. You know, well, it was the same thing. And if you're not wearing that, people would laugh at you. Flat tops. Boy, that's one thing the nuns hated back when Elvis was alive, the DA. And it looked like the butt of a duck. And they always made sure it all came together in the back.
Yep.
And you'd use pomade, right? Or Vaseline, whatever you get your hands on.
Yeah.
And let it grow out. And then we do it on purpose with the nuns. As we got older, like, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, you do it on purpose. Once in a while, take your comb out, go like that, and do like you're cool, right? And you're going to come up behind you, smack, rustle your hair up, you know? Just to get a little rise out of it.
So you mentioned Elvis. Was there any, like, your favorite artist or musical?
Or even just, like, idols that...
Yeah.
No, I always like the stuff from, I still do, stuff from the 50s and 60s. A lot of it is based on country music. A lot of it is based on black music, like the blues and jazz. And eventually, that's who the Rolling Stones were copying. That's if you listen to or look at any of their interviews, that's really who brought them out. With their music was that the old rock and roll from the 50s and 60s and the country western stuff, because there is a difference, country and western. Western would be more like dance music, and the country would be like, you know, I grew up on a farm and a train came by and I got a tractor, all those kind of things, you know. But the other stuff, the Western would be more like like a dance music, mm-hmm. Dance hall music.
So out of all those like music artists, did you have one specific favorite song?
No, not really. Some, but the guy that didn't graduate from St. Anne's with us, but we joined him, that guy, Roger, he collected 45s. Eventually, he bought a good record player, and eventually he had a professional style tape recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he still has some of his music. He digged that out, and really we just listened to all kinds of things. I didn't have any special. There was a disc jockey every Friday, and that's what he played, the real old stuff. And that's what I listened to every Friday afternoon. It was 5:50 a.m. in Rhode Island. He's in the Rhode Island, he's in the Rhode Island Hall of Fame. For this, Music Hall of Fame. He was Armenian. So he'd also make jokes about Armenia, but that's because he was Armenian.
Yeah.
The one time he said it, he says, I wouldn't let anybody else talk like this, and then he'd say hello to all his Armenian friends. But that's what he played. He played the old stuff. It was really good.
Do you have any like favorite stories that you would want to tell us that like you'd love to tell?
Yeah. You know, down below here, it's shaped like an E.
Mm-hmm.
And in each one of those E's now, I think they're like quiet zones now or something. They got nice bricks and all now.
Oh.
Those used to be pits. And that's how we get into our locker rooms. Freshmen and sophomores are on this end, juniors and seniors on this end. And you wouldn't dare use one another's stairs, because one of the upperclassmen probably throw you down the stairs anyway. Well, it was all guys. So, and you had two brothers supervising you, assigned to you every day. They were assigned to you on each side.
Mm-hmm.
They catch you fighting, they drag you down to the pits.
Mm-hmm.
They put the big gloves on. The big ones, was it 10-ounce gloves, whatever, the big
yeah.
Giant bulbous boxing gloves, not the small ones like you practice with, the big ones. They tie them on you and tell you, fight. And everybody'd be on the railing, and on the stairs. Yeah, get him, you're gonna get him, And you'd say, then they'd look at each other, and they'd say, and then if the brother didn't start fighting, he'd come over and smack him one. Fight, I said, fight. Well, the thing is first bell, you had to get into the locker room, and second bell, you're supposed to be in the seat. Well, everybody would leave, including the brother that had him in there, and they're both out there with gloves tied to their wrists. Well, the prefect, I don't remember his name, I remember I can kind of visualize him. The prefect, I don't know if they have that anymore, was a brother. Brother was a disciplinarian, but if he called your name, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. If you were out and you came, when you came back, you had to report to his office and check in with him before you got to class. You don't dare go to class without checking with him first. Well, you had to, because you were late for class, first you had to figure out, how am I going to get the gloves off? First of all, how are you going to open the door with big gloves on? Mm-hmm. I got to get in the building. Got to get the gloves off. Got to get to class. So I'm going to be late for class. That means I got it one way or another. I'm going to have to go to the prefect. Plus I was fighting. So they get detention, whatever that entailed, extra work or staying after class in front of him in his office for days on end. That's one of the stories. And then on first Fridays of the month, didn't matter what religion you were, everybody marched down the hill, down to St. Agnes. Friday, the whole crew, the cars would go over to the side of the road and take the whole school down to church.
Yep.
At the parish, because the chapel was too small. I mean, then it was only for a chapel, there was nothing else down there. But it was too small for the whole school. So first Friday of the month, whether you were Catholic or not, you're going down for Mass, kind of like what it is now. You know, you do like this if you don't want to receive whatever. They participate, because we had people from all over the country. Another one is, we had, in biology class, we had a brother. He had served 8 years in the Navy, and he was all Pacific boxing champion in his class. We had a student, a black guy, from New York City. Mm-hmm. He was Golden Gloves, for his weight, he was Golden Gloves champ. But he was a smart ass. And he had to take a science before they let him graduate. He was a basketball player. Mm-hmm. A varsity basketball player. And he'd always be, he didn't get along with the brother, and brother purposely irritated
him. Teachers to please dismiss members of the varsity baseball team for their away game today. Once again, please dismiss varsity baseball team for their away game today. Thank you. And a note that the cafe will be closing at 4:30 today. The cafe on the mountain will be closing today at 4:30. Thank you.
The guy would smart off just to irritate the brother. So the brother would have him stand up, and he'd go up, and he was much taller than him, but the brother was really rugged, right? And he'd be standing there, no brother, yes brother, and then and this guy had a plastic ear. He had lost his ear in a gang fight.
A student.
York.
Yeah.
You know, it was tough life. You know, tough life in the ghetto in New York City. Yeah. Forget what section he was from. But, you know, he was a senior. He needed this class.
Yeah.
But he'd get upset. And the more upset you get, the more you pick on you. So he did, every once in a while, he'd stand under him and stand there like this, under his chin. So are you gonna stop? Are you gonna stop smarting? Never really laid him out. He just boom, 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 like that. And then the young man would just stand there and take it. No, yes, no, whatever. And then a few days later, he'd do the same thing.
Yeah.
That was another thing from here that happened too. It wasn't all bad, because some of the stuff was crazy and hilarious, and you know, pushing one another down when the bell rang. Some of the guys had to go out of town. They had jobs, you know, back after school, especially as they got older and they had driver's license.
You mentioned that you were in the Marines. What was that like in the beginning?
Three of us volunteered. In April, it was 120 days. That's 4 month delay plan. At the end of August, we went into the Marine Corps. We started out together. They both ended up getting hurt. Well, one was hurt, the other one had a problem. He had a weight problem, so he couldn't do everything. So they set him aside for a couple of weeks to get him back in shape. And we didn't get to finish together. Like, the intention was to go in and finish together and then go wherever they sent us, but it didn't work out that way. But we did join in April of our senior year, graduated June, I guess it was. And then the end of August, we went to Parris Island, South Carolina. And the next April, I turned 18. And you have to be 18 to go overseas. I turned 18 April of 64. Mid-May, we went to the Mediterranean on a Navy troop ship for 6 months. Traveled around, but Marines are afloat now all over the world. It's always been that way, because the Marine Corps is the Navy's infantry. That's called the Marine Corps. In French, it's l'infanterie marine, infantry of the Navy. So in 1965, we went to the Caribbean for 3 months, based in San Juan, Puerto Rico, on a helicopter carrier. And we were the first group to test a helicopter that was the Sea Knight. They named the model SCA Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T. We were the first to attempt a landing at night. This is without the combat equipment, but just to say at night. You get on a helicopter, you're doing 120 miles an hour on the ocean. They get off the helicopter, go down the level of the, just above the ocean, and just like you would do in combat, they bring you in to land. They have to elevate to drop you off, just like in combat, then they unload you. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it has a ramp in the back, and you run off. And that was just practice. And then they took us back on a ship. It was pitch dark. Couldn't see. And I happened to get a seat right behind the cockpit. And that's how I knew how fast we're going. So I saw 120. I don't know if it was knots or miles per hour. I saw 120. And as going back, we're doing the same thing, except just like in combat, the ship's lights are off. So you kind of see something, and you can tell he's kind of aiming for the middle of the ship. Then when you get to the ship, and there it's pitch dark, you got to get up, or it drops down on the deck. You've got to, you don't call them steps, you call them ladders,
mm-hmm.
right, on the ship. You call stairs ladders. There was no railing, so that the helicopters wouldn't get caught in them. So you'd have to get off. If you step off the wrong way, going right into the Caribbean Sea, you have to make sure you step onto and turn at the same time. Because during the regular hours with the ships at sea, they have a steel cable around the ladders and around the top surface of the ship. But when you're doing flights, you can't have the helicopters get caught up in that, so they drop that. So you had to step off and go down.
So, kind of to getting towards the end, what is the most important thing that you've learned during your life?
Try to pay attention to your surroundings at all times. Pay attention to where you are. Pay attention to who's talking to you. Pay attention to who's, you never know, especially nowadays, you never know. Try to behave. Especially nowadays, the way people act up.
Mm-hmm.
Especially nowadays, you never know what's going to happen.
Do you have any stories where you really, after that moment, you learned that you really should, like, be, like, know your surroundings?
Yeah, in Vietnam, we had a sniper that was shooting at us. And because we were in the ammunition depot, we really couldn't leave there. We couldn't go look for him or her, whatever it was. And it didn't sound like it was a high-powered rifle, so we don't know if it was a villager. And it was a Vietnamese cemetery nearby, because where they made the base, there used to be a village there. Because the ammunition that we dealt with was called open storage. It wasn't in a warehouse, it was outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
You see that with places that sell, what do you call that? You spread on in your yard there. They'll have a certain color, wood chips, and then there's a berm, there's separation. Well, that's what we do. Bulldozer would come in, clear out the sand near the South China Sea. And they would just open it up, and you'd put certain ammunition there and certain ammunition and all that stuff. Well, you get ammunition, and you can't leave it. And there was no platoon there for us or a company for our security. So that we couldn't go chasing after it. One of the guys, so right away, you just learn that pay attention to your surroundings. You start hearing pop, pop, and you hear the things go by your head. That was a maddening part. And you couldn't go back at it. You had rifles and everything, but you can't leave what you have because it could be somebody trying to get you to go after them, and then they come in the other side and rob us.
Yeah.
But I mean, it doesn't have to take much to cause trouble. So that was something that, paying attention, that having that when you have no choice and you gotta watch out. You gotta watch out. I don't know if that's what you mean.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So, do you think growing up as a like kid in your generation or our generation is harder?
I think it was harder. It was harder in respect of the economy and the inroads. Everything was slower. No communication like this. Mm-hmm. That's the big thing. Communication.
Yeah.
And if you made a couple of bucks, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
To take care of the yard, I think I got, this is whether it was wintertime, snowing, or whatever, as a kid, I was getting like a buck and a quarter a week. You know? The pay in what businesses there were, they weren't high. They weren't high. The pays weren't high in offices either. The higher the pay, usually the higher the education, except in the trades.
Yeah.
Someone who was a trade, like a good welder or a good painter, they got the wage. But that's still the case now, as far as the trades go.
So, would you say that you've adjusted to today's technology, or are you still kind of like not really there yet?
I started out as a computer. I went to computer programming school. But to get a job, you had to know somebody in an insurance company or a bank, because they're the only companies that could afford the big computers. That's all it was computers.
Yeah.
There were no laptops, there were no terminals or anything. It was key punch cards. I got a job as a computer operator. Now it's called Bank of America. Back then it was called Industrial National Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And they liked to hire veterans because they knew they'd show up for work and it wouldn't mess things up. So I got a job. Started out as a computer operator. Eventually I went to work with Mark Stevens, which became CVS. And that's where I got a chance to become a programmer. So I did this from, between operations and programming, I did this from March of 1969 until October of 1999, 30 years. So, yes, I'll use my phone. Yes, I'll use the computer. And I didn't grow up with it. I like to read. I watch the news. The other night I was watching Looney Tunes, the ones that they never let kids watch because the animals are beating on each other, like Daffy Duck and all that stuff. And I'm laughing because when I look at the date, the copyright date, and it's like 1960, 1959. I grew up with that. We're still around, except now they make up all these rules. I don't know, it's make believe.
I think that will conclude.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Thank you.
Much it. All right, yeah. I hope.